Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Maybe it's just me, but I get very, very impressed now when somebody in the media in Philadelphia gets one of the owners to talk. And I guess the reason is because we've only gotten John Middleton to talk twice. We have not had... Jeffrey Lurie on our show in 26 years.
Yeah, yes. Probably a good chance it'll be 27.
Yeah, very good chance. I'm not even sure who the hell the owner spokesman is for the Flyers right now. Mm-hmm. But Paul Hudrick of NBC Sports Philadelphia, and also a part of co-host of the Sixers Talk podcast, is on the line with us right now. He got some very interesting quotes from Joshua Harris. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Angelo. Thanks for having me.
Paul, I appreciate you coming out with us. How did you get Joshua Harris to open up to you like this?
So it was a very interesting sitting. It was something that I was in touch with the Sixers about wanting to do, and just kind of wanted to do a big piece looking at the idea of, when he bought the team. Obviously, it was a different situation. They were kind of in NBA purgatory where they were, just good enough to make the playoffs, but not good enough to really do any damage. Not good enough of a landscape to land a big star player. So, he went in, bought the team. Everything happened with Sam Hinkie and the process and all that. And just here we are now with a team that he thinks and a lot of people think can win an NBA title.
It was really
cool, very revealing for Josh. Yeah.
What I was interested, because he talks so really, Paul. I was interested that he seems satisfied with where they are right now, but is acknowledging this doesn't mean anything if they don't win a championship. He really is committed to that parade, isn't he?
He really is. And that's, the best way I would put it is probably he is happy, but not satisfied. He enjoys the progress. He's really happy with the job that Elton Brand has done over the last year. Obviously, with the Jimmy Butler trade, Tobias Harris trade, Elton Brand, by all accounts, had a pretty darn good offseason this offseason as well. And, that's the vibe you get, is that he's happy with the turnaround. He's happy to see the fans are back in the seats and that there's a buzz about the team. But, the Kawhi shot really seemed to affect him as much as it affected, the players on the team. And that it's really been a motivating factor for all of them.
Yeah, the Kawhi shot thing was very interesting. And then he said, we're going to use that. That it stuck in his craw. He had never done. This is what he never does that I think would help if he goes, hey, I had the same reaction to fans that I can't believe we lost that way. We're going to motivate ourselves even more this year by remembering what happened. Paul, he doesn't do that. That was one of the coolest things he said in the time he's owned the team. When he was saying it, were you going, yeah, this is what we need to hear?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really interesting conversation. At one point, the piece was pretty long as it was, but I didn't get to include everything I necessarily wanted to. But he also mentioned the fact that, he wishes he could take back the Andrew Bynum trade, which I thought was interesting. I guess that's kind of a no-brainer in a sense, considering the guy didn't play a game here. But also, as much as that's true, you also kind of look at it, that maybe was the catalyst for everything that's happened since. It's the cliche of everything happens for a reason, and you make the Bynum trade and things start going a different way and you move in a different direction. But yeah, I thought that was pretty revealing. It was a pretty open, pretty casual conversation to him and I had. And it was kind of like refreshing to hear him say, to not shy away from the fact to say like, hey, I was there in Toronto when that ball hung on the rim forever. It stunk. I hated that feeling. And, I'm happy to move on and use this as a motivating factor for our team this year.
Well, I got to tell you, I would like to hear that stuff on Bynum. That's pretty
cool. Yeah, oh,
he's never, he's never really addressed that. I it's kind of fun to hear him say that. All right, but here's one thing. You know me, I'm always looking for a negative edge on this. he's very enthusiastic about Elton Brand. I mean, that comes across very strongly. I don't sense There's nothing in here that he has the same level of enthusiasm for his coach right now. Can you give me some sense for how he feels about Brett Brown?
Yeah, I mean, there is, again, a quote that didn't quite make the story, but he did say that right now, you know, managing partner, ownerships, general manager, front office, coach, coaching staff, everybody's on the same page right now. So he did say that, he did say that Brett's his coach, and, you know, he's sticking behind Brett. Obviously, there was that speculation that came out during the playoffs. Mark Stein, who's, you know, a guy who's been around the block, who's done this for a long time, you know, ran with that report that they had to make a finals appearance. Everyone's denied it. And so here we are where, you know, I think it's going to be – they're going to stick by Brett because I think, you know, he's toughed this all out. You know, he's been through all of this. He went through the process. He went through all these lean years. And, you know, he won 50 games back-to-back season. He's won a playoff round each of the last two seasons. So I think they really want him to try to see this through. And I think he is their coach. You know, obviously things can change. But I think right now, you know, they definitely have – Brett has their vote of confidence, I'd say, for sure.
All right, Paul, this is where it gets interesting. The closest thing to a compliment that Harris gave in the piece that you wrote – was he said the players are really bored in. I see them. They stay late. They get here early. Everyone is focused and locked in. What I found ironic is almost the same time on the website, you had a terrific piece on Embiid and his conditioning issues. And I'm wondering if that applies to Embiid, who can get out of shape by missing two games. Help me to understand what's going on with Embiid and his conditioning right now, Paul.
So here's the thing. I don't think I can help you because I don't know if I even understand exactly what's going on. It's a really odd issue that it just seems like this guy, and he's admitted to it, when he doesn't play for a game or two, he comes back in, he just doesn't look right. He looks out of sorts. Quite frankly, you know, in the Denver and Utah games, he looked a little like lackadaisical. Just looked like, you know, Brett even said, you know, pregame yesterday that, you know, he was upset, but he was disappointed that, you know, Joel wasn't rolling to the rim as hard as he normally does. And, you know, that was kind of making the offense a little more stagnant. You saw a little bit of that last night. He was a lot more aggressive, a lot more active, you know, rolling to the basket a lot harder, which opened a lot more things up for the team. So it's just crazy that, you know, this was a storyline all last year. It was a storyline during the postseason, and we're nine games in, and it's still going to be a storyline until he makes it go away. And luckily this year they have a lot more depth to compensate for that when he does have his struggles, when he does have to sit out. But it's going to be a story until he makes it not a story anymore.
Well, I mean, the coach tried to bail him out saying it was the altitude in Denver, but the guy he came in this offseason in supposedly the best shape he'd ever been in.
He looked great. 20 pounds?
He looked great. He lost 20 pounds. You're right, Rhea. And then, I mean, he gets a sprained ankle for one game, and now he has two games for suspension, and he can't run up and down the court. And, Paul, we're all looking at each other going, how fragile is his conditioning? I've never seen anything like that. And you wrote I thought your piece was terrific on this. But you're right. They don't even know, do they? How do they keep him in shape?
Yeah, I mean, with Brett's situation, of course, you know, Brett's going to have to, you know, Brett's got to encourage him. Brett's got to say the right things, you know. I know they brought in, you know, they overhauled their medical staff, their sports science staff. They brought in Lorena Torres, who's their program director. She came from the Spurs. The one thing the Spurs have specialized in over the years is the load management and, you know, making sure guys are doing the right things to have their minutes, you know, done properly and, you know, getting the right days off and getting the right rest and all that. I will say, you know, when we talked about Elton Brand's offseason and how well he did, getting Al Horford to be your starting power forward and then also your backup center, and then getting a guy like Kyle O'Quinn, I mean, that's a luxury to have Kyle O'Quinn be essentially your third-string center. So I think that's how you're going to have to compensate. Like, you know, last night, Embiid played 25 minutes because Kyle O'Quinn was able to give you, you know, a few minutes off the bench. Same thing in Denver. Kyle O'Quinn was excellent in this first half in Denver, then didn't play in the second half. Brett said that he regretted that. He wishes he would have played him in the second half. So I think that's how you're going to have to see it. It's going to be, you know, Al Horford and Kyle O'Quinn are going to have to step up and just kind of, you know, help Embiid along. Maybe he plays, you know, more games than Embiid, but plays less minutes, and that's the better way to manage him since he does get so out of rhythm and so kind of, you know, his conditioning seems to be off if he misses more than a game or two. So maybe the idea is now, you know, less minutes but still playing more games to keep that.
I got to tell you, Paul, they're both terrific pieces. Go to NBC Sports Philadelphia. Paul's got some great inside stuff on what's going on with the Sixers. Paul, I really enjoyed it. Hopefully we'll get you on again real soon. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thank you, guys.
Paul Hudrick. And I want to mention, Al, something about load management. Because, you know, I'm not a huge fan of LeBron James. But LeBron James scoffed at the idea of load management in the NBA. And he issued a very brief statement about load management because, you know, he's not a kid anymore.
No.
I think he's like 35 or 30, something like that. He said, LeBron's, he likes the third person thing. He goes, LeBron's healthy. LeBron will play.
Did he check with LeBron? No load management.
What's that? No, he, and you know what, Al?
Kawhi Leonard seemed to work last year for him.
One of the ways you could tell if somebody's old is if they buy into load management.
Well, Kawhi Leonard worked for Kawhi Leonard.
I do not buy into load management. I got a player. I'm paying him $20 million, $30 million a year. Now I can't play him every night because I'm afraid he's going to get tired in June.
Denver?
Maloney.
Pal, all I thought Maloney. Of when I was checking out the game Friday night and him looking very sluggish and tired is you on Thursday morning made a flip comment and it stuck in my craw. This is a guy who couldn't get over a stomach ache to play in a playoff game.
You're right, Al. Well, I mean, he tries to play this
tough guy.
That's why the tough guy thing didn't. When they said
he's
bullies,
soft.
I'm like,
Al, you're 100% right. Embiid is soft. Well, he is. He's like, they're nurturing him. They're making it worse. They're feeding into his softness.
How do you get out of shape in two games?
And it's unbelievable. Rhea. Two games. What did he do for 3 days? Just eat? Did he just get Shirley Temple's delivered to the hotel? How do you get out of shape that fast?
Well, the issue to me with the Sixers is they had two things that they had to fix.
Yeah.
Yep.
One was Embiid's
conditioning.
And the other was Simmons' shot.
Didn't
yes.
do it.
Does not appear either one has advanced. Good point, Al. Tony's up from Levittown. Hi, Tone.
How you doing, Angelo? Angelo, I suffer from panic attacks, too, and they're not fun. You have nothing to be ashamed of.
No, I feel no shame whatsoever. But, Tony, tell me what triggers them. What makes you have a panic attack?
I have no idea, Angelo. I've been suffering. I'm 62 years old. I've been suffering since I was 25, and they just come on. It's like
do you medicate
you just
gotta
make sure you have that.
No, I need to know if I need pills for this, Tony.
And something happens, but it's horrible.
He's not hearing me. All right.
No.
Tone, I'm trying to understand when you do you take Xanax or something that is
put a plastic bag on your or a paper bag on your head.
Al, a plastic
paper.
You would die.
You blow into a paper bag on my head, and then you don't have to worry about it because you're dead. You blow into a paper bag,
yes,
supposedly,
Al.
Right?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to the doctor for this.
What are you going to do?
No, I don't panic with doctors. But, Tony, I cannot deal with enclosed spaces.
I think we can give Al a panic attack. Let him listen to a motivational speech in an MRI when he has an MRI.
No. I don't like motivational
speech. Give me a great broadcaster.
Jack Whitaker.
I loved him. Now, Al, that guy was a writer who broadcast.
Okay.
You don't even know who he did. No. Jack Whitaker, Al, at the end of the Masters.
Okay.
They would give him 2 minutes to wax.
Like Andy Rooney?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I
Rooney. Don't even say him in
he
the same
really
name.
He was really good.
No, Andy Rooney was, this guy was a master of prose.
Oh. Didn't do college?
Al, he would take an event and just make it
bigger.
Yeah, that's the great word
for it. You just said about an hour ago you hated that about Vince Scully.
Because Vince Scully, he sang it.
Vince Scully.
I don't like that.
That's the way.
I don't like that.
Old time.
Yeah, it's old time. That's right.
Yeah.
I got to admit, Al, the guy you love does it. What's his name? Kevin Harlan?
Oh, he's good.
But he's good.
Oh,
somehow
he's so good.
When he does it, I like it.
Well, because he's exciting.
Yeah.
There's a level between him and Gus Johnson. Gus Johnson is too over the top, and I like him as a broadcaster, but he loses his mind.
I like Harlan.
Harlan is appropriate. Like, it's appropriate losing your mind.
49-13. He's yelling and screaming. 49-13 yesterday. 888. Did anybody watch that Red Zone? Man, I got one call on this. The Red Zone Channel Al is God's gift to real sports fans. And if you find out a friend of yours does not like sports, does that end the friendship? Because it would for me. 888-729-9494. WIP Sports Time. 9:17.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.